Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Spencer and Laura Williams, your hosts for the Married with Board Games podcast.
Hello, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Laura, and we're Married with Board Games.
Welcome to the Married with Board Games podcast, episode number one.
Numero uno.
You just spoke Spanish, and I have no idea what you just said. Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining us. We're very excited to have this very first podcast, and we hope you enjoy it. To introduce ourselves to you, if you don't know anything about us, we've been married for...
5 years.
5 years in paradise.
Wow, okay.
And we've been playing games all 5 years. I would say the frequency.
We've been playing games like since we met, which even before we started dating.
That's true. But I would say the frequency of game playing has increased, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. Especially with our, since our games are so much better than what we started with.
Oh yeah, as our love grows, so does our. No, I'm not gonna go there.
Wow.
Let's talk about how. What was the first game we ever played together?
It was a nice little ditty called Quelf.
Quelf, a little mass market game you could find at Target. I haven't seen it there in a while. You think it's done?
I don't know. Because I had never even heard of Quelf.
Yeah.
Until you pulled it out.
You're welcome.
We were in college theater, late night board gaming in the basement of the theater, hoping that campus security wouldn't find us in there after hours.
That was the way to do it.
Yeah.
But Quelf, man, that I haven't thought about that game in a while, but that was a unique game, I would say, coming up with different rules and having to abide by those for certain characters. And,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember Mrs. Picklefeather. Did you play as Mrs. Picklefeather?
I don't know.
No. Okay. But anyway, it started with Quelf, and then the first step into the doorway for Lara, I think, was Last Night on Earth.
Yes.
From Flying Frog, and we still have that game, actually. And it's the game with the soundtrack, the zombie board game with the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And what were your thoughts on that, stepping into that?
Well, you know, that was, let's see, 2009, 2010. So zombie stuff was just coming on the scene, like Zombie Survival Guide by Max Brooks had just come out, and which I Am Legend, is that the movie?
One of those.
The Will Smith movie,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so zombies were just starting to pick up. We weren't quite to Walking Dead yet, as far as the TV show.
Right.
I think graphic novel was already out. And so it was still fresh and hip, the zombie thing back then. And so we were playing this board game with this cool soundtrack that was like a movie. And so it was very interesting. I never knew that board games could be like that.
And you never looked back.
I guess not. I don't know. I mean, what do we follow that game up with? In a pickle?
Well, that is true.
What was your breakthrough board game?
Oh gosh,
it wasn't
me,
board game though.
No,
it was cards.
It was Munchkin. Munchkin was the thing that got
Steve
me into
Jackson
board
games.
As much hate as it gets sometimes, hey, it got me to where I am today.
Yeah,
thank you, Munchkin.
It's a good gateway.
Yeah, it got game. Me playing that, and then to go buy new sets, I'd go into game stores, and then when I was in game stores, I'd see all these cool new games. Oh, I gotta have that. Shut up and take my money. Give it to me.
Although you did make a couple mistakes.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm still making mistakes, but not as many. That's where I finally discovered Board Game Geek and became a little bit more savvy on my purchases. And I also discovered reviews. And that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yes, exactly.
We want to share the good of the board gaming, not the bad.
Well, and especially when it comes to married couples.
Right. Some games don't work well for married couples.
And some work really well.
Really well. And so we want to highlight those, especially, you know, the two-player aspect of it and the dynamic between a husband and wife and how that works. We haven't really come across any games that are, like, absolute no-nos, right, that I can think of?
Absolute no-nos?
Yeah, like, yeah, I would not recommend this for a married couple.
I'm not sure. Because now I'm thinking back to not only was like Last Night on Earth, but when we really started dating, we found those kitschy little card games that we played.
Like Bandits.
We played Bandits, and my favorite, at your face, was Yetisburg.
The first in the line of one that was supposed to be sequel from Paizo Games, there's going to be a Dismember the Alamo.
Dismember the Alamo. It was going to be so cool. And we kept looking for it forever.
Every month we looked
for it. We looked for that game.
It never came out.
Yeah, they just never released it, which really disappointed us. But we liked Yetisburg.
Yeah.
We haven't played that. Yeti! I would always say that when I would play my Yetis.
We should break that one out and give it
we
a try.
We should. An oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that is our purpose. That's a little bit about us. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about us, you can visit our website. What is that, Laura?
MarriedWithBG.com.
So join us there. There's a little bit more of a biography of us, so I hope you'll check it out. We'd like to move on to what we've played recently.
Yay!
Saturday night, we had an epic game night. Maybe not epic, but compared to recent game nights, it was pretty epic.
Recent as in no game nights.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult to have game night with a baby that cries a lot.
We've got two children under the age of four.
Yep.
And yeah.
So anyway, it was pretty good to be able to get in three games.
Yes.
First thing we started off with was a little card game called Super Hack Override.
From Weird Giraffe Games.
Weird Giraffe Games is launching their first game, Super Hack Override, on Kickstarter, and they graciously sent us a copy to review for them. So a little bit about the game. You play hackers, and you are trying to be the best hacker that there is.
Just to get your hacker cred.
Yeah, you want to boost your hacker cred, and there's a certain goal based on how many players are playing. Like, for two players, you want to get to 40 points or cred, but it goes down based on how many players are playing, mm-hmm. and you play your cards. Your cards are your hacks, and you play them down, and when you play them down, you get the points that are up in the corner, and there's also some text on the card that has a game effect. But then on your turn, you can put a other player's card that's down in front of them back in their hand. So therefore, it's taking away their hacker cred.
Ah.
So there's a little bit of a back and forth of, I'm playing this one down, and then the other person can say, no, you're not, and put it back in your hand.
That was something we ran across, though, of a two-player game.
Yeah, that was the drawback of a two-player game. You could feasibly get into an infinite loop of, I'm putting this down.
You put that card back in your hand.
Then I'm putting it back down again.
No, you put it back in your hand.
I'm going to put it right back down.
we ran across that, yeah. And I was like, so what's the point of you telling me to put this card in my hand? I'm just going to put it back down the next play I get
until I win. Yeah.
Which I did.
You did. But we did contact Weird Draft Games and ask them about that. They said there was an alternate rule you could play with that said every other turn you had to play one of your hacks instead of playing another to put them back into their hand. I don't know why you wouldn't play that as a in-game rule. You know, why is it an alternate rule?
Why isn't it just a rule?
I guess, you know, if you're playing with more players, that wouldn't absolutely be necessary. But yeah, it's a very small game. It's tiny. It's a little bit bigger
than... It's in your pocket.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger than the size of a business card. And very portable. You could put it in your frocket.
Oh, you and your hip kid language.
Carry around that front pocket in your shirt. Pull it out whenever you're bored or...
Frock it.
So, yeah, the way the game works with a lot of that back and forth, we wouldn't recommend it with...
Two players,
I'd say at least three. It's from two to six.
I have to say I like the theme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The hacker theme is one that's not done very, very often. In mm-hmm. fact, in a digital age as we're in, you don't see a lot of that IT-themed games. And then the artwork, of course, is gnarly. It's totally 80s.
Yeah, especially the color scheme.
Yeah.
That really conjured the 80s.
It looks like Tron on some of the games, some of the artwork. Yeah. So I think they accomplished what they're trying to get across. So, yeah, if that sounds interesting to you, check it out on Kickstarter. It's going live on September 12th.
And keep in mind, the copy that we played was a review copy, so there's still changes being made. So.
True.
Yeah, just be sure and check it out when they have their final edition.
Yeah, very good.
Hooray.
Next for us was...
Yes. Pandemic.
Reign of Cthulhu.
Z-Man Games.
Oh, man. We've been looking forward to this game as soon as it was announced.
Oh, yeah. Because we've liked Pandemic for so long. And then we got together with our friends and did a Pandemic Legacy campaign and thoroughly enjoyed it. And then found out, what? They're going to add in the Lovecraft mythos?
Cthulhu?
Yeah, which we love the Lovecraft mythos.
Anything.
I mean, would you say you read the short stories first before we started playing the games? We like the games from, like, Fantasy Fly, the Eldritch Horror, Elder Sign, Mansions of Madness. We've also got things like Cthulhu Gloom, Cthulhu Realms.
Oh, man. I mean, give us a Cthulhu game. We'll play it.
Well.
We'll play it. We may not
we'll try it.
We'll try it, yeah.
We do have at least one that goes, not so much.
Are you talking about Cthulhu Dice?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, we played it.
We did.
And we haven't played it since. Certainly did.
It looks pretty.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, so to your question, where does my Lovecraft come from? Was it the games first? Was it the stories first? It was kind of a little bit of both. I was turned on to it by a great friend of mine, Jared McDaniel. He taught me about it. And I read a book, and I was like, this is interesting. I would like to play a game based on this. But then as I played more of those games and learned more of the characters and the
they're so
stock characters, I want to know more.
Deeply rooted in the stories. Yes. And I think that's what's really cool is, I mean, there's so many elements of the stories, including all of the elder gods and locations, mm-hmm. like being lost in time and space. Or
getting to run around in Arkham.
Yeah.
Or Innsmouth or Kingsport. So, I love being able to connect the stories with the board games. And, I mean, talk about board games that tell stories. Pretty much all of these, you can, as you play, formulate a story in your head of what's happening and you can visualize it.
So that's exactly what Pandemic Reign of Cthulhu has done, is they have put Arkham right there on your map and you are watching as pretty much all hell breaks loose and you're trying to stem the tide.
Yeah. So instead of stopping the spread of diseases, you're trying to stop the spread of evil in the form of cultists and Shoggoths and those great older ones, great elder gods. They have so many different names. I think they're elder gods in this game. But for those curious, because I know one of the biggest criticisms was, well, this is just going to be a reskin of Pandemic. It's just going to be the same thing, but with Cthulhu theme. I disagree. And you can speak to this, but I feel like, you know, I was able to put other Pandemic out of my mind, and this felt like a new game to me.
Definitely. And I think the main thing that's popping out in my head right now from our gameplay of it was when we realized, because normally in regular Pandemic, you can travel from research station to research station in one turn, or one move of or one action, rather, mm-hmm. that's what it is. And in Reign of Cthulhu, you can move from one gate to another gate. However, your objective in this game, instead of trying to find cures to four different diseases, is to close these four gates that are in Innsmouth,
Arkham, Kingsport,
and
what's the other one?
Uh-oh.
Well.
Sorry, guys. Anyway, you get the idea. So you're having to close those gates. Then you realize, oh, I closed that gate and I can't travel through it. So then you have to go through all those. You have to go along the wrong route. Mm-hmm. So you don't have that shortcut anymore. Totally different from Pandemic.
Yeah, and there are, in addition to disease cubes, like in Pandemic Legacy, or not Pandemic Legacy, in Pandemic Reign of Cthulhu, the cultists take the form of disease cubes. But there's an additional thing you're trying to avoid. It's the Shoggoths.
Yeah, instead of an outbreak.
Yeah, a Shoggoth comes
along. Yeah, when three or more are gathered in his name. Is that sacrilegious? When there are more than three cultists gathered, they bring forth a Shoggoth who then starts moving toward the gate.
And there are only three Shoggoths in the game, and if you ever need to place one more on the board, game's over.
Yeah, same concept like in regular Pandemic, because it's the same with the cultists. Right. If you ever get to the point that you can't put another cultist on the board, but you are required to, game is over, which is just what it is in Pandemic with your disease cubes.
So that adds another way to lose. And just our playthrough, it was fun. It was a blast.
Oh, but we were working so hard. We were like, oh yeah, we can do this. Oh yeah, you get that, and you go over there and you do this, and then I'll do this, because just like in regular pandemic, you have your different characters who have different abilities. So with this person with this ability, if you take care of this, I'm going to come over here and take care of that. Oh, we've got this on lock. We did not.
In the cards for you. we lost that game by running out of cultists. We just had way too many cultists on the board.
Yeah, we were not keeping them in check.
No, we were so close. Like, two more turns, maybe.
And that's how it always is with regular pandemic, I feel like.
Two more turns. It was me. I was the one with the cards. I could have done it, but my partners did not keep the cultists off the board for me. It's okay, I forgive you. The world is insane, but it'll be all right.
My bad.
So anyway, all that to say, it was a blast. That does not replace Pandemic for us.
No.
We'll keep both. Even if you're not a fan of the Cthulhu mythos, I mean, this is still worth checking out because it's so different. Give it a play. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't, but at least give it a shot because it was a blast, and I love the variations on Pandemic. So that is Pandemic Reign of Cthulhu by
Z-Man Games.
And finally, our final game for the evening, one of Lara's favorites, was
Rococo,
a game I never thought I'd be playing, but we owe it all to Mr. Eric Summerer. He probably doesn't even remember. On one Dice Tower episode, he mentioned that he had played it, and Lara happened to be in the room and said, oh.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, he had described of... You're trying to make dresses.
For the ball.
And so, I go, ooh, that sounds neat. So and what did you do?
Me, being the fantastic husband that I am.
Ultra attentive.
Christmas is coming up soon. So I wrote it down, and I remembered.
You surprised it.
She had almost, you'd forgotten about it, hadn't you?
Of course I had, and opened it, and was utterly astounded, and so excited to play it. And we ended up playing it, and we both fell in love with this game.
Oh my gosh, I said it before, I've never had so much fun making dresses.
Oh my gosh.
It's like one of our friends said, it's Say Yes to the Dress Rococo Edition.
Yeah!
but no, you're not only making dresses, but you're making suits too, right?
Well,
suits for the men.
You're funding decorations and musicians. It's all a ball for the king, funding fireworks, all sorts of stuff like that. You're hiring your apprentices,
right.
and
workers.
Yes, and or you're, what is it?
Deputing them.
Depute.
To get their money.
We love how different games come up with different fancy words to tell people to leave.
Yeah.
Like this game, it's depute. Cthulhu Realms, it's abjure. Yeah.
But that brings up a good point. So this game, what we really like about it is there's so much to it. There's so many different mechanisms. Like, it's a board game, but it has a deck-building mechanism to it.
Yes.
That I find fascinating, that not only are you gathering resources, you're collecting them, but managing those and spending them. And your money. But there's also this deck-building element to having a deck full of... Of employees.
Useful employees.
Yeah, you want to get rid of the ones that aren't.
Mm-hmm. And get the money for them.
Right, but keep the ones that are very useful.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds fantastic element to this game.
Yeah, we haven't even tried all of the tactics yet. Mm-mm. I feel like every time I dive into a game, I have no idea which way I'm going of what do I want to do. Do I want to build dresses to sell?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to... Which is you just build them and then you just get the monetary value for them and then they're gone? Or do I want to build dresses to rent so they go to the party and you get your... It's not prestige points, is it? What is it they call it in this game?
It's prestige points.
Prestige points. Instead of the monetary gain. Or do I want to fund these musicians or these fireworks? Or do I want to try to hoard my money? Or do I want to try to get the most valuable employees?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many tactics of how to win this game. And Spencer was just saying the other night after we played this most recent round of it, I just need to try each and every way of winning.
You can try to balance it and try to do a little bit of everything, but I would like to see, you know, if one particular route is better than the other, if you focus one direction, if you're going to beat out everybody else, or if it does, if it is all about juggling all the different options and see if you can do it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's definitely a Euro game at its core, but
definitely
it is. It's a blast. I mean, I was saying this too. I can't think of a single negative to this game. Can you?
No.
It's got great artwork.
Yes, the artwork is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And the great thing about the turns is, it's something like the turns last forever. There are 7 rounds in the game, and as you go around, there are different steps, but a player can do one turn, and it goes to the next player. It's not like a player that has 4 turns. They have to take forever to take 4 turns before it's the next player's turn. Mm-hmm. Everybody does one thing, and that moves to the next person until everybody runs out of turns.
Yeah.
It's great at, you know, you don't feel like you're sitting there just waiting for your next turn.
Well, and you have to be watching what the other people are doing. Mm-hmm. Because somebody might take the dress that you were planning to build, and you've been saving up the money and the materials because you're saving up bolts of silk, you're saving up thread, you're saving up lace, which is one of my favorite things because I was playing banker this last time, and when Spencer turned to me and said, I would like to buy some lace.
Did I say it just like that? I don't recall.
I like to imagine that you did.
And I flicked my eyelashes at you. But yeah, it's
so precious.
It's become one of our favorite games.
And we are really, really looking forward to, there's an expansion.
The jewelry box!
Yes, they're going to add the element of a jeweler, and you get to build jewelry to go along with these frock coats and gowns, and it is going to be fabulous. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's exciting. And so that's actually going to be our next video review coming up on the Dice Tower. So be watching for that on the Dice Tower's YouTube channel. It'll be up pretty shortly.
And you better believe the moment that I get this expansion in my hands, you will be seeing it on Instagram. So be sure and also follow us on Instagram at MarriedWithBG.
Yeah, so that's a look at our game night, Friday or Saturday night. It was a blast. I had fun.
Shout out to Segan and Jennifer for coming over and playing with us.
Yeah, thanks for playing us. It's always fun playing with those guys. So all around, a fun, fun night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hungry. You know what time it is?
What time is it?
Time for some game night grub.
Game night grub. All right, so... First of all, let me let you all know that what I'm looking for in a recipe, when I'm trying to find something to get together for a game night, is something I can throw together real easily, so not a whole bunch of ingredients and not a whole lot of prep work. I don't want to have to peel a whole bunch of stuff and boil this and leave this sitting for 2 days marinating. Not my style. Second of all, I really kind of prefer finger food. I don't want to have to cook up or clean up a bunch of cutlery, and I don't think that our guests really want to deal with that kind of stuff either. So that being said, one of our first big game nights with people, we got together and I had just come across this recipe on Pinterest, and it's from a blog from realhousemoms.com, and it is called Crockpot Pizza Dip. It is safe to say that that has been a big hit.
Yeah.
And I get requests for it a lot whenever we have friends come over.
Even not on game night.
Yeah, even if it's just come over and chill out.
Which most of those turn into game nights anyway.
Yeah, because the way Spencer is. Hey, guys, you want to play a game?
we got a nice selection over here. Y'all wanna, come check it out.
Want to play a one-night Ultimate Werewolf? We're all here anyway.
Might as well.
Yeah. So this recipe is very simple. Like I said, it's 8 ounces of cream cheese and a cup of shredded mozzarella.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You sound just like Mario.
Oh, yay. I'm not going to try that. Teaspoon of Italian seasoning, 3/4 cup of Parmesan cheese, usually like the stuff you find in the green little shake can at the grocery store. 8 ounces of pizza sauce is what's recommended. I myself love tomato sauce. Any and every kind of tomato sauce. I love it. And so I tend to always have a jar of spaghetti sauce or pizza sauce in the refrigerator, and I end up adding some just because I really like tomato sauce.
Yummy.
And a fourth cup of cut up pepperonis. The way I do that is I stack my pepperonis as tall as they can go in my little 1/4 measuring cup, and I put them in a little handy chop and set that guy going, and it makes itty bitty little shreds of my pepperonis. Some people may just cut them up into quarters and sprinkle them in there. No harm, no foul. If you like it chunky, that's good for you. And you just cook it for an hour in your crock pot on high and stir, and it's ready to go. I recommend serving them with thinly sliced Italian bread that you may toast in the oven, just because you want something kind of sturdy. It is a thicker sauce, a thicker dip, and so you don't want anything that's too flimsy to be able to stand up to it. And Spencer, would you like to give us your thoughts on this?
Okay. The idea of liquid pizza might not be the most appealing thing to you. To me, it is.
I mean, anything having to do with pizza is appealing to Spencer.
I mean, the fact that you could possibly drink pizza through a straw without actually having to chew, I mean, just makes the process that much easier.
That does sound thoroughly disgusting.
So pizza dip, this pizza dip is amazing.
I think the first time I even said anything to you about it, you went, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even tell me what, I mean, you've got pizza and dip. I mean, you can dip things. You can dip anything. You can dip a grape into it. I mean,
and it tastes like pizza.
It tastes like pizza. Pizza grapes.
No, Spencer, don't even go there.
Okay, so, if I had 10 thumbs, I'd give you 10 thumbs up for this recipe. I would highly recommend it. But if we want to give it a rating of, you can keep it on the game table or keep it in another room, probably keep it in another room.
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's thick. It's not runny. Mm-hmm. And you're dipping something into it, so you're not getting it on your fingers, so
true.
You won't be leaving
that is true.
Residue from food on your cards mm-hmm. or your components.
So as long as you're careful.
Like the way that we set up our table, mm-hmm. we have our game table, and then if we're having food or snacks, we give everybody a TV tray and they set it next to them. So food and drink goes on the TV tray next to them, which is a level lower than our game table. So if there was a spill, it would go on the TV tray and it would go into the floor. It would not go on the table with our game. And again, this stuff isn't runny.
True.
It's not going to go everywhere. And so
just don't eat over the game.
Yeah, and
don't be a jerk.
Especially, yeah, don't be a jerk.
Keep your food away from my games.
Yes, and so that's our first installment of Game Night Grub. You can be looking forward to more recipes. And if you have recipes to suggest, we're always happy with that. And I understand there are people who are just like, absolutely nothing like that is going anywhere near my games. I only allow things like goldfish crackers and mixed nuts. Hey, that is your prerogative. Just giving you some other options, pal. And again, you can always keep it in the kitchen and people can go nosh on it in game breaks. So,
crockpot pizza dip. Yum.
From realhousemoms.com.
Next up, let's talk about what we hope to be playing soon. Just a little FYI, my birthday's coming up. Any day now, by the time you listen to this. And I am hoping to get some new games for my birthday.
Anytime there is a holiday, Spencer might receive games.
Can I get a game for Valentine's Day?
Christmas, please? Birthday, Father's Day, wedding anniversary, and apparently now Valentine's Day.
Can I have a Easter basket with a game in it?
Please? I get reminded that Spencer has an eternally running games list of what he would like. And you keep that logged on BoardGameGeek.com, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If you want to look at it and send me something, my username is Spencer Dean Will. SpencerDeanWill. So you can look it up there. And yeah.
Look at the spectacular games that Spencer is craving.
So at the top of my list, definitely Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition.
Yes, because we have the first edition.
Yep, and we can
That game.
Oh my gosh. So, yeah, the whole idea of the app controlling everything that takes up so much time with the original.
That was the thing, was the first time we got it out, we spent an hour and a half setting it up. And I was like, so when do we get to start playing?
Yeah. But it was worth it, right? It was so immersive.
It is really cool.
And from what I hear, the puzzles and everything, app has, that's like, really cool. Background music and,
oh, and the fact that, like, the person who's playing the bad guy, you get to choose the options.
Yeah, that's true. That is
like
good.
Choose your own adventure style. That's really cool. It's just so time consuming. Like, the most recent time that we played the game, we were having game night at 6:30. Spencer gets off work at 5 and he came straight home and started setting up so that we wouldn't have to waste our guests' time with Spencer setting up the game.
So that's a big one for me. I also, just some other ones just to throw out there, Dragon and Flaggin from Stronghold Games.
That does
looks
look
like a blast.
Like a lot of fun.
Having a barroom brawl in an old, whatever those things are called.
Tavern?
Yeah, that was... And so, yeah, that looks like a lot of fun. I'm blanking. Well, how all of a sudden am I blanking on all the games that I want? But, yeah, so hopefully we'll get some new games to play that. Also, we just received in the mail today another Kickstarter game called Cake Battle. It is a two...
I like how as soon as we pulled out of the box and our daughter, our three and a half almost, your old daughter saw us... really pretty slice of cake on the side of the box. Ooh, cake!
So, yeah.
She was excited.
Yeah. It's a card game. It's supposed to mainly be a two-player game, but if you kickstart extra money, you can get it to where it goes up to four players. But the creator said it actually works best as a two-player game. But there's
which
some
is perfect for
yeah,
us.
Perfect. So there's some bluffing elements to it. It sounds almost similar. I was reading the description. It sounds kind of like Masquerade.
Ooh,
yeah, where
neat.
You play a card and you say that you're one thing, but you might not be.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're trying to battle for these pieces.
It makes me
of
think
cake.
Of Jimmy Fallon. The
Box of Lies?
Yes.
You lie.
What is in my box? Yes.
Cake. So that one looks like a lot of fun. It's on Kickstarter right now called, again, Cake Battle. We'll hope to play that one soon.
And we'll get a review up
of it too. So that's in the immediate future. Again, a reminder that we'll be working on our Rococo review that will go up on the Dice Tower soon as well. Finally, we want to end with a little bit of advice for other married couples. And even if you're not married, if you're you know, together or you're engaged, you don't have to be married to take this piece of advice. We had someone reach out to us on Twitter asking how he could get his girlfriend into more gamery games. He said she only likes Rhino Hero. And I just started thinking about it. How did I open the door for Lara to get in to start liking other games? And one really good way to do that is, okay, so look at the games that your significant other likes.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, this person liked Rhino Hero.
Okay.
So it's a dexterity game. You're stacking things. You're trying to not have stuff fall over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you look at other games that are a little bit further down the rabbit hole that have those elements, but also add newer elements to it. Okay. So she likes dexterity. Maybe she might like Flick 'em Up. Okay. So you bring in this new game where you're flicking things all over the place. You're trying to knock over cowboys.
Or what's the penguin game?
Oh, Ice Cool.
Yeah.
That's another one I want for my birthday is Ice Cool, where you're flicking penguins around.
And that looks so cute.
So look for those elements and say, okay, so you like this about this game. Why don't you try this game?
Mm-hmm.
And then in those games that are a little bit more in depth, they introduce other new elements. So for example, here's another perfect example. Lara, when she heard the term deck builder, for some reason, there was this disconnect that turned her off. If it's a deck builder, I don't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But because Rococo has a deck building element to it, and she liked that, I was able to open up the door to Cthulhu Realms for her. Yeah. And how do you like Cthulhu Realms?
I'm having a blast. I've got two ongoing games on the app right now.
So it's a very cyclical web of introductory, you know, if you can get them to this level, mm-hmm. that introduces them to something else. You like this? Oh, I can find a game that this... And you can pretty much find that with any game. Most games have two or three elements in them, and you can take one in one game that is in another game, and then exponentially increase your range of what you're able to get your significant other to open up to playing. So that would be our advice. Find that one thing that they like about that one game that they particularly enjoy.
Well, maybe if it's not even like a mechanic, maybe if it's a theme. Mm. If they like a specific theme.
Yes.
Like, so we like Last Night on Earth. Mm-hmm. And then there's Dead of Winter.
Ooh, yeah.
And again, you're trying to survive the zombie horde.
Right.
But totally different elements.
Right. Exactly.
Of having to manage survivors inside of your compound, mm-hmm. and build reinforcements to keep zombies out. And manage your resources, and people have different abilities, where that's not necessarily in Last Night on Earth, but I mean, it was a gateway into it. Yeah. Right. Those kinds of things. That's another way. Like you said, find one little element. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily just mechanics.
Right.
Theme as well.
A word of caution though, the worst thing you can do is force the issue.
Please don't.
Yeah. That's a topic for another day, but if you're trying to introduce someone to the hobby, if you're trying to get them to, join you, do not push it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we can go into it another day.
I think I may have to do a blog post about that.
Yeah.
So be watching our website, marriedwithbg.com, mm-hmm. and I may have a blog post coming up soon about that, because I'd say in our relationship, at least compared to Spencer, I see myself as a non-gamer. I know there are people on the outside who have nothing to do with board gaming, so they would see me as a gamer. I consider myself a non-gamer, just because I know what a big deal it can be, and I know I am not there.
And that's, she's the one that keeps me grounded.
Aw.
So like I said, we'll explore that in another episode. But for now, that we'll call it wraps. Thank you so much for joining us.
We're going to box this one up for now.
And you can contact us on Twitter, Instagram, at MarriedWithBG,
mm-hmm.
on Facebook, /MarriedWithBG, on our website, MarriedWithBG.com.
Yeah, we've got contact information on there as well.
And you can email us, MarriedWithBG@gmail.com.
There you go.
Thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to the next episode.
See you guys.